Hello and welcome to The Gaming Duo, where friendships are built through gaming. We're your hosts, Kelvin and Rob, and if you're joining us for the first time, first off, thank you for tuning in. We're the podcast that keeps you, the gamers, up to date on the latest news and speculation about the gaming industry. Rob, how you been, man?
I'm so happy to be home, man. I'm just so happy to be back home. It's been a long, it was a long weekend.
Dude, we had probably the best time of our lives at PAX, because that was an experience. Having PAX 3 days in a row was a lot, but it led to a lot of great memories, in my opinion. I don't know about you.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, there was some points where we were dying of laughter, literally tears coming from our face from just like fucking laughing so hard. And just the whole experience was fantastic. It was a whirlwind. It went by so like fast. I feel like the days went like that. Like you woke up at like 7:38, and then you blinked and it was like 6:30 at night. Right. So was quite the experience. If you guys don't know, we went to PAX East in Boston. It is the indie. It's basically an indie developer expo, and you get to play a bunch of games. You get to play a bunch of games. Probably the most amount of games you could play in one spot.
A bunch of games. And now that we're talking about the video game side of things, what was probably your top three indie games that you tried or that you were really interested in at PAX?
So Animal Well was probably my top game I tried.
Yep.
That felt the most polished. It was a different take on the genre. I didn't play this one, but I liked, you know, based on what you guys were doing. Robots at Midnight was a good one. Really enjoyed that. And let's see what else. I want to say, I mean, the Rugrats one, just because of that one cool feature.
Yeah.
That was a really cool feature. So those are probably my top three. Oh, actually, the Glaive game was pretty fun too.
Which one?
The one we had worked together. Oh, as a team.
Yeah. That's true. That was like our first game that we tried on day two or something, right?
Right.
What a day, man! Like that day specifically. I think that was Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. We were just going, you know, to indie developer, just trying out as many games as we can. And I think you're right. I think the top three for me, definitely Animal Well was up there. Robots at Night or at Midnight was awesome as well. Rugrats was really cool, obviously, for me, nostalgia purposes. Like that was one of my you know, games that I wanted to try out even prior to getting to PAX. And there were like a lot of cool ones. Forge of the Fae was cool. I tried out and I thought that was really fun. And I just had a blast, man. The amount of the energy, right? The energy that was there, and you could just kind of feel like everyone just excited and just ready to like just have a great time, right? Just like going from different booth to different booth and just talking to the developer. I think the best part is just the fact that everyone's just there. Everyone is, no matter who you are, right? You had Ben Starr just walk casually by, like right behind us, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Ben Starr. Like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, I'm kind of pissed you didn't tell me that. Well, you told me that, but after the fact, you were like, oh, Ben Starr's right there. I'm like, where? And he like blended in. He literally blended in.
Not only that, but he was also with the developer of Cyberpunk. Like, he was just hanging out with him in the, and again, it's just a, like the show floor. Like, it was just like hanging out with everybody, right? We got to meet Blessing. We got to meet Mike. Like, there were so many awesome moments here that I'm just like, man, PAX is different. You know, you can't get that at like another convention, right? You can't get that at E3, can you? Like, I don't know. I've never been, but it's a different feel. It feels like no matter who you are, developer or just like a fan, you can have this moment of like, yeah, we're all gamers. We're all here to just have fun and talk about video games and just geek out, you know?
It's funny because to most people, if they just saw these people walking around or going in these places, it's not a big deal, right? Like seeing a developer, seeing a voice actor, like it just looks like a guy, right? Or a girl, right? But to us, like, it's a big deal. We're like, oh my God, developers of Cyberpunk's right there. Like, oh my God, it's so crazy. Seeing Ben Starr, it's so crazy, right? Like seeing some of these high profile people in real life, Yoshi P, right? Seeing him, and it's just Yoshi like P. So wild. I mean, we saw the guy from Grasshopper Manufacturer, Suda 51, right? Sure. So that was so cool, just seeing him in the flesh right there. And that's as close as we are probably going to get, right? to seeing and meeting these people. It's just overall, it was just a fun 3 days, man.
And even the panels, right? Like, I think if there's one gripe that I had to say about this, right, is the fact that there weren't enough panels that I would have wanted for a 3-day weekend, right? I think they were great, but like the panels that we had with Final Fantasy 16, the panels that we did, I'm telling you, man, there was a lot of cool panels, but it wasn't like spread out. I wish it was all like on Friday or something. But regardless, nonetheless, it was a great time. And I think PAX, if you haven't gone there, is one of those places where you need to experience at least once in your life.
Yeah. And we met up with Nick from Friday Night Gamecast and Will, right? We actually got to meet them both in the flesh for the first time. And these are people that we met over, you know, a couple of years at this point. And we actually met them for the first time. And like I said, everyone in the Discord is like, I can't wait to go next year. We're all going to meet up. And I can't wait. And that's, and like I said, it's like, we just knew them right off the jump, right? It wasn't like this awkward feel or anything like that. It was just like, oh, what up? Like, I know you. It was such like a really fun experience, and definitely going to go back again next year. If you guys haven't gone, I highly recommend it. Now, I don't know if you saw, but they're changing PAX from March to May, which is huge.
That is very huge. And I didn't know if that was even part of like a discussion piece, because that's it. Think about it, right? PAX has always been around this time, around March, the end of March, right?
Yeah. This
time, moving it away from GDC and bringing it into the like to May, that changes a lot when it comes to video game announcements, when it comes to development, when it comes to just the overall like things that you can expect at PAX, right?
Oh, so yeah, it opens up the outdoors, right, to everyone to go out, and just like there's going to be more people going.
For sure. And it's interesting. Like me and my side, I'm like, okay, what are we going to see that we don't typically see at PAX because of the time that it's being, you know, done, right? Like, so if we're close to May, we're close to like June, we're close to like summer. I mean, like, what can they do in that time space to like make it as crazy as possible for PAX, right? And I'm assuming there could be tons of announcements, there could be tons of panels, tons of like just important people show up at PAX that can make PAX just even bigger than it already is. Because I felt like this weekend was booming. Like Friday and Sunday were like still busy given, you know, the days that they were, but like Saturday was insane, right?
Yeah, Saturday was a wild day. Saturday was the most, middle of the day, it was just like little, gross. We were like sardines. So we were like, we were sardines right in there. So I imagine, man, May is going to be wild. I think May is gonna be like absolutely insane. Like everyone's actually gonna be able to go out in the city of Boston, enjoy, you know, the nightlife and all that fun stuff. Like there's gonna be a lot of fun stuff happening next year. I'm excited
for sure. And just to top off the PAX experience that we had, we actually made some content with the Friday Night Gamecast with Nick. Guys, we released that today. Check it out. We talk about our experiences at PAX and just our favorite titles, what we liked, what we didn't like. So definitely check that out if you want to get more information on what we thought about PAX this year. Rob, I know you were with me all weekend, so don't know if you played any games in the time that we haven't been together, but Final Fantasy VII, you played a little bit of Final Fantasy VII at the hotel, right?
I did in bed. I was on my remote play and on my phone, and I didn't play too much of it because I fell asleep.
You fell asleep.
I think I was the first one to sleep every single night. I think.
Oh yeah.
Did I? By far.
Yeah, by far. Yeah. But just the fact that that's a thing, like I can't wrap my head around that. It's like, wow, you're playing essentially on your PS5. Remotely,
yeah,
in like miles away, right, in a hotel bed, like you're just chilling, and it ran pretty flawlessly from what you said. Like you can't get any better than that. Like that's just, to me, it's just holy shit, what a time to be alive, right?
Yeah. I will say one of my only gripes about PAX was the food. I felt like the food was not good.
Yep.
So if my recommendation with a venue, like, get better food. Like it had the pizza, it had some Asian food, it had like some Italian food, but
They just weren't very good.
Yeah, it just wasn't like any, and they had food trucks, but even the food trucks were like,
all right. Well, we had, yeah, they were fine, but like the mac and cheese though,
that was pretty decent.
We talk about all of that stuff on yesterday's episode. Sorry. So definitely check that out. Again, it was with Nick from the Friday Night Gamecast. We did a great little discussion piece there. Check it out. Fun times. And yeah, let's move on. Rob, let's get into the Daily Duo news. The Daily Duo. Let's go. First up, Sonic Heroes is getting a remake for Switch 2, maybe. According to a report from Universal, Nintendo, Sega is working on the remake and is potentially using Unreal Engine 5. Oh, they're going real hard on Sonic, huh? They're like, you know what? Let's just use the most up-to-date engine on Sonic Heroes. Was Sonic Heroes, like, really well-received?
It was mixed, but it was more of a cult favorite. So, yeah.
I just remember the theme song.
Sonic Heroes. Yeah. Sonic always has good banger songs. Oh, like, yeah. Always. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. I love it. We need to go to like a orchestra.
Sonic concert?
Yeah.
Like Sonic orchestra? Concert. Yeah.
They have those. Those are things. This was then collaborated by Twitter user MBKK, oh God, AKA Midori, a Sega leaker with a track record of Atlas and Persona leaks. Released on GameCube, PS2, Xbox, and PC in 2003, Sonic Heroes attempted to upend the typical Sonic formula by putting players in control of a team of three characters. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this one was also the one that you can make your own character, right?
No.
No? All right, no, I'm thinking about another
Sonic then. Yeah.
Gotcha. There are four teams. Team Sonic, consisting of Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, Team Dark, Shadow Rogue, and E-123 Omega, Team Rose, Amy, Cream, and Big Cream, and Team and Team Chaotix, Espio, Charmy, and Vector. I don't think I know any of these people. Holy crap. Remedy's Condor, Live Service Control, Spin. Oh, this is a different topic. Sorry. We're getting ahead of myself. All right. Let's get into the Sonic topic here. So, what do you think about this? Did you play Sonic Heroes back then, or was this just kind of one of those Sonics that you skipped?
No, it was. I think you actually had it. I think you played it. I just don't have a good memory because I'm pretty sure I borrowed it from you. I think. Did I?
Maybe. Was it on the game? Yeah, was it on the GameCube, right?
It was a GameCube. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Sonic Heroes was a different, was a hard game because it was the Sonic game that came after Adventure 2 Battle. And Adventure 2 Battle was very, very tough to compete with at the top, basically.
This
one kind of gets overlooked because of that. But it had really cool mechanics where you switched on a fly with between Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails, and then all the different team members with like Shadow. It was definitely a different type of Sonic game, but it was very fun from what I remember. It was very fun.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this game. I think it was one of those where I jumped in, played it for a little bit, and then just kind of jumped off a little. You know, I didn't really get to the end. So some of the mechanics I'm not really familiar with, but interesting that they're remaking this for the Switch 2, quote unquote, maybe.
Reportedly,
right? So, I mean, fine, that's cool, right? We'll see what they can do with that. If it is a fan favorite, then I'm sure it's going to do well, as long as they, you know, just kind of upgrade the engine, which they are. So overall, this seems like a pretty decent kind of like, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, but like cash grab sort of kind of thing for, you know, Sega.
I think people want it.
Have you heard anyone say, damn, man, I wish Sonic Heroes was remade, man. Like I would buy that day one.
I mean, we want Adventure 2 Battle to be remade. So, I mean,
that's different. You're talking about a completely different like beast right there. Adventure 2 Battle versus Sonic Heroes. Come on. You can't.
Sonic Heroes was good. I'm going to go ahead and say Sonic Heroes was a very good game. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I've had fond memories. I thought the mechanic was cool. So I'm not saying it's bad.
I'm just saying I don't think anyone's like screaming outside saying I want Sonic Heroes. That's all I'm saying. You know,
no one's ever screaming about a Sonic game, though, like off the rooftops. They come and go and everyone's like, oh, cool, Sonic. And then they forget about it. Right. So,
yeah.
Remember the new one? Newest one? Sonic the Hedgehog, I think it was called. The new one. Whatever the new one was called. I don't even remember. Sonic Unbound?
Frontier.
Yeah.
Unbound. That's either going to be made at some point for Sonic, or it's already been like a
I think it's Game already Cube a Sonic game.
Game Boy Advance game or something, yeah.
Just add Sonic to, you know, any cool word, right?
Yeah,
Sonic, exactly. Sonic Furious, and then there you go. Oh, okay.
Sonic Thunder. Furious. Sonic had some really cool names. I'm going to actually, so when we were at that panel with Dave, I was looking at some of the DS games, and there was a Sonic game. Let me see if I could find it. Sonic the Hedgehog. I was this is such a badass game. And it didn't release in the States. It only released in Europe and I think in Japan, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's just go look. Let me know when you find it. I'm just going to list off some ridiculous names. Sonic Jump Fever, Sonic Boom, Fire and Ice, Sonic Frontiers, like we said, Sonic Dash, Sonic Lost World, Sonic Colors. We know that one. There's just so... Sonic Unleashed, Sonic Zero Gravity, Sonic Rivals 2.
Sonic Chronicles the Dark Brotherhood. What?
That one's cool.
Is that, dude?
That's cool. That's
freaking cool. Sonic Chronicles the Dark Brotherhood. That's this a, isn't even... And then if you even look at the cover art, it looks like anime as fuck. I'm like, dude, this is dope as hell.
And then we have Sonic and the Black Knight too. That was the one that came out. That's fire. So that's fire.
Yeah, that Sonic looks actually really cool. Sonic Unleashed. Did you say Unleashed?
I think I said Unleashed, yeah. Unbound. Unbound.
Unbound. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely want to try out now Sonic Chronicles the Dark Brotherhood. Moving on. Remedy's Condor, live service control spinoff, built on Remedy's in-house Northlight engine. It's set to enter full production this year for PC, PS5. And Xbox Series X and S. The Control franchise is larger than one story or one character. It continues with codename Condor. We invited players on a collective journey into the depths of the oldest house. Remedy also confirmed that Condor will be a service-based fixed price game rather than a free-to-play title. So, Remedy's next title. We're looking forward to this. We're excited to see what they can do based off of what we've seen from Control, based off of what we can see from, you know, the Alan Wake series. So does this excite you at all? Is this something that you're looking forward to? It's kind of like on your radar. What's going on?
I couldn't really get into Control as much as I wanted to. I definitely have booted it up and tried it and played it quite a bit. But couldn't really like sink my teeth into it. Also have Alan Wake 2 on the backlog right now. Started that one up. So I do like Remedy as a studio. Do I get like super excited when they have a new game? Not necessarily. I'm not, like I said, I'm not rushing to play their new games, but this is just them going into, it looks like games as a service in a sense, right? This is what this is basically, it seems like.
Well, if you read back, it says Remedy also confirmed that Connor will be a service based fixed price rather than, yeah, so free to play title. Yeah, I guess it's like a free to, yeah.
Basically. So almost like a Helldivers kind of deal,
yeah,
right?
Where yeah,
you,
yeah,
you'll
yeah.
pay a base price and then it'll update it and it's going to be, there'll be microtransactions within it and to get all the skins. But I'm excited because Remedy is a pretty prestigious studio because when they put out stuff, it usually hits pretty good. Yeah, it's quality, right?
Quality stuff. Yeah, this doesn't do anything for me, like talking about what they're supposed to be, you know, what they're trying to envision this game looking like them explaining it to us in word format doesn't really do anything for me. I need to see this visually. I need to see this just like as a trailer. So
until I see
a trailer, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to wait till, you know, until I see what they have in store for us. But again, like you said, like Remedy is always known for their products. They're, you know, they're just their quality titles that they make. So I am not worried about this game whatsoever. I just don't know if this is going to be the game for me, if that makes sense.
For sure. I'm very excited.
Guys, let's take a break real quick. If you're enjoying this episode, rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, drop a review, and remember to follow us on all social media platforms. Be part of the Gaming Duo community by joining our Discord, where friendships are built through gaming. Silent pause. So, real quick, have we updated all of our stuff? And like, so we made like a new like little section for PAX, right? And we put in all the pictures that we had, you know, some like videos there, but like we have to definitely update that more because you guys need to check out all the cool stuff that we saw, that we did. So we'll be updating that accordingly, but definitely check out that server there. Fun times. Again, I can't stress how much fun I had and all the cool shit that we saw. Did you buy anything crazy? I don't think so, right?
Just a water bottle. Just a Cougar water bottle. That's it. My $10 Cougar water bottle.
It. That's really it. That's all you bought.
Because I left my water bottle in the Uber. I wasn't complaining. Oh, and I never got my fucking bucket hat. I never got my stupid bucket hat.
Dude.
God damn it. Square Enix, send me it in the mail.
So it was the theme of the entire weekend, right? You and Mikey were just trying to get this bucket hat that Square Enix was like, they had a fortress behind it for some fucking reason. They were giving them out left and right, right? But just strategically, just not when we were there. So when we finally got there, we played Final Fantasy 14. We were like, all right, cool. We're playing. We're enjoying it, whatever. I'm like recording you guys. But nothing. It was dead silent when it came to like the bucket hat situation, right? And then like we left an hour later and they were just handing them out on the lines and shit. I'm like, what the flying fuck?
Yeah, because like everyone like was wearing them. Like even if they were waiting in line, they already got them from like the day before or something. I don't know. And then we like would ask the dude, like, hey, how do we get the freaking bucket hat? And you're like, it might be a giveaway. We don't know. Like, you just got to kind of check around and see if it's there. Like, I have no idea. And I'm like, dude, are you freaking kidding me? And then you come back later, like, oh, we ran out. Sorry, come back tomorrow. Like, that happened for like 2 days straight. And I was just like, I'm so done with you. Stupid bucket hat. Stupid.
And it wasn't even the fact that it was a nice looking bucket hat. Because I'm going to be honest.
It was like an orange. It was fine.
It did not do anything for me. I'm like, I don't know why you guys are really so, like, been out of shape about this. It was just the fact that you saw so many people have it and you could not get it. That's what it was.
And it would be so stingy with it. I was just like, why? Just
right there. Hand it to me. They had it in a glass. They had it there in a glass, right? After we were playing Final Fantasy 14.
Give me that one. I'll share with Mikey. I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Insane, dude. Insane. Shout out to the bucket hat. Back to the news here. Phil Spencer discusses what he would like to see in a handheld title. In an interview with Polygon, Phil Spencer spoke about how he'd like to improve the experience of playing Xbox games on handheld game devices, be they existing ones like Asus ROG Ally, Lenovo Legion Go, and the Steam Deck, or potentially a first-party system. Quote, the things that usually frustrate me are more Windows-based than device-based. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, he knows that too.
Yeah, he knows, which is an area I feel some ownership of. Like, I want to be able to log in with a controller. I've got my list of things we should go do, end quote. Regardless of whether Xbox were to launch its own handheld, Spencer said he wanted other systems to feel like an Xbox. He added, I want to be able to boot into the Xbox app in a full screen, but in a compact mode. And all of my social experiences is there. Like, I want it to feel like the dash of my Xbox when I turn on the television. Except I want it on those devices. This is why you need to make an Xbox handheld device, Phil.
I think he wants his cake and he wants his cake.
And eat it too.
He wants an Xbox UI, but still have Windows back there, like chilling and be able to do all the Windows stuff. I don't think he necessarily wants to make a full-fledged Xbox handheld. He wants it to have some Windows capability. Like, he doesn't want to completely overhaul the OS, but he doesn't want to basically make a complete new OS for a system, if that makes any sense. Like, he's like, how do I make it where like I could still piggyback off Windows but still make it feel Xboxy and make it feel like a console experience?
This is what you do. Phil Spencer, get your engineers and fucking build a dedicated Windows OS system that caters to both Windows and Xbox. Simple. Easy. You could do it in like a day, right? You could do that tomorrow. I'm just kidding. Obviously, that's going to take some time. But imagine that though, right? You can make this Windows-based, like we always talk about it, like why does it have to be exactly like Windows, right? Like it could be something similar to Windows, but in a handheld format. And I'm sure they could do that, right? They've done that in other different devices, right?
The Microsoft phones. Yeah,
exactly.
They did that in OS.
Exactly. You nailed it. Yes. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. If that's something that he wants to do, if he wants to eat his cake, or what is it? Eat his cake and share it too, or whatever the fuck you say. Get his cake and eat it too. Thank you very much. Then that's the option that he can take. That's the route that he can do, right? I think that would really kind of solve the issue with the handheld space at the moment, right? When you have like Asus ROG Ally, which I love, but the Windows portion of it is really tedious. It's not even tedious. Annoying. It's just like cumbersome. It's annoying. Yeah. It's just like, it's just not fun to like navigate. Whereas you look at the Steam Deck and you're just like, man, this is flawless. This is great. This works perfectly the way it should. Same thing with Switch. Same thing with all the other consoles. Like, this is something that he can work on.
If you have a handheld, you need, if you have a handheld console, for the most part, it needs to have some sort of dedicated OS for it. That's how they become successful. That's how people pick them up. That's because we've learned that Windows on a handheld is just yucky. It's just yucky. It makes it convenient for like installing all the different launchers you want, but then half the games don't even really play right on the launcher. Like it just acts kind of weird, and like I still can't play like a lot of PC games on my Ally, right? Like it just doesn't work right. It's just, I don't know. I think a what you said, nail on the head, come up with a Xbox version of Windows. You can do it. I know they can do it.
I know they can do it. You know what I mean? Also, this fidget pen that you bought me, man, I'm fidgeting it away, you know?
Told you. It's once you get those pens, you never, ever want to not use them ever again. Like, they're just fantastic. Have you used it for work or you left it there at your desk?
I left it. I just saw it. I'm like, I'm going to play with this while I'm recording.
Yep.
Rob, let's finish this off. Can you take us to the end of the episode today?
I could take you guys to the end. Toys for Bob, the developers for Spyro and Crash, if you guys don't know, they are in agreement with Xbox for their next game. According to a report, which cites sources familiar with a recent Xbox town hall meeting held for the staff, Xbox Game Studios head Matt Booty was asked for what's happening with Toys with Bob. Booty reportedly said that the agreement has been reached with Toys for Bob for its first game as an independent studio. And while he didn't confirm what the game would be, he did say it would be similar to games Toys for Bob has made in the past, from VGC. So is it going to be
Banjo?
Spyro?
Banjo.
Is it going to be Banjo?
Could be. Why not? Why wouldn't it be?
Is it similar or is it going to be a new IP? I don't think it's going to be a new IP. I really don't think it's going
to
be a new IP.
I think they want to. I think Toys for Bob is ready to like really stand out and make their own title. But as of right now, I think they just want to focus on other existing titles until they're like ready for, you know, a big project.
Is Toys for Bob, they have Banjo?
They don't necessarily. Xbox does. Like Xbox owns Banjo-Kazooie. They own Rare. But I don't know if they can hand it off to Toys for Bob, because I feel like that would be a really good pair for like Toys for Bob to like really start creating, you know. But because at the moment it's Rare that's still, you know, in ownership with Banjo. Is that correct?
It's Rare had them from 1998 to 2008, I believe. And then it's under Xbox Game Studios from 2008 right on. So
then that tells me that it's just ownership of Microsoft. So Microsoft could give it to whatever studio they would like. So my guess is, hey, Toys for Bob, Banjo-Kazooie, meet Toys for Bob, meet Banjo-Kazooie. And there it is. You know,
I think Nuts and Bolts was like, I heard people enjoyed it, but it wasn't the Banjo-Kazooie they wanted per se. So like people have still been fiending for Banjo-Kazooie, me included. Like you can create such a insane world now within that space, because why wouldn't you? People still love Banjo-Kazooie. People still love those two fucking, that bear and that bird.
What? What's the noise up there? They make some weird noises. I used to love the little noise.
Yeah, they, I don't know. They make.
Yeah, something like that. I remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah, there you go. It's like almost goofy-ish, but it's not. It's weird.
Goofy.
He does like when he punches, he goes. It's like it's a weird noise. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that can that's the move. Phil, if you're listening,
do it.
You know, make that OS for us, and also make Toys for Bob, make Banjo-Kazooie.
Banjo-Kazooie. Love that.
It's a good fit. It's not a bad like idea. You know what I mean?
Fits like a glove.
Some will say. Fits like a bird in a book bag. Is it a book bag that he's in?
Bird. Fits like a bird in a book bag. Yeah, he's in the backpack. Yeah. Little Kazooie.
There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, this wraps up today's gaming news. If you haven't noticed, we have a website. called thegamingduopod.com. Check us out there. You'll see all of our content that we have. And boy, do we have some content this week. Again, we talked about PAX in the beginning of this episode. We have a bunch of other video related PAX stuff that you have to check out. We have it on our socials. It's going to be coming out, kind of like spaced throughout the week. So definitely check out those stuff. We have like a little compilation video that I had, basically just kind of showing off some of the things that we did at PAX and much more. All the interviews that we've done at PAX will be rolling out this week. So again, check that stuff out at thegamingduopod.com. Again, obviously, make sure you review, share, like, subscribe, and get notified on all of our content heading your way. We'll be back tomorrow for your gaming news. Until next time.
Yes.